Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
The Comeback Kid.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. One trader called yesterday's recovery in the stock market a whiplash rally. The Dow goes from a 250-point morning loss to a 300-point afternoon gain. That turnaround came on reports of a potential bailout of the big bond insurance companies. They've been at the heart of the market's recent swoon. Most Asian stock markets took their cue from Wall Street, financial shares in particular among the big winners overnight. Japan's Nikkei added 2%. In Europe this morning, the major markets are higher. That in spite of news about a huge trading loss at one of Europe's oldest banks. Societe Generale is blaming the fiasco on a rogue trader, as Stephen Beard reports.
Societe Generale says that an imprudent employee dealing in European stock futures has lost more than $7 billion. The unnamed trader was based in Paris. The bank says he had a deep knowledge of risk control procedures and was therefore able to evade them. Analysts see this as just the latest chapter in the saga of shady banking practices. Mark Derling of Brokers Bruin Dolphin says there's been a widespread culture of greed in the industry, not just one imprudent employee in Paris.
I think there's a minimum of 500 of them currently either employed or enjoying sunning themselves in the Caribbean, I'd imagine, on the bonuses they had from the previous years, and have basically brought mega institutions to their knees.
Societe Generale lost an additional $1.5 billion on U.S. subprime mortgages. The bank is hoping to plug the hole in its accounts with an $8 billion share issue. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
To China and its explosive economy. GDP there grew above 11% for the fourth straight quarter. Andy Rothman is a strategist for CLSA in Shanghai.
It is a remarkable story. Especially when you think back that just less than 20 years ago, this was a completely state-dominated command-and-control economy, and now it's a thriving one with a big middle class supported by an amazingly entrepreneurial set of small and medium-sized companies.
The Chinese government wants to generate 10 million urban jobs this year, but the big question is whether China can keep the global economy growing as the U.S. slows. This week, Dartmouth College pledged free tuition for students whose parents earn under $75,000 a year. Harvard and Yale made similar moves recently. Some of the nation's top schools are becoming generous because their bank accounts are bursting. Lisa Napoli looks at a report out today on the secrets of their financial success.
The report tracks school endowments through June of last year. The 60 richest schools in the nation averaged returns of 21%. Notre Dame and Duke raked in a more than 30% return. How'd they do it? John Walder runs the National Association of College and University Business Officers. He says the managers of these endowments aren't the kinds of guys who park their money in sleepy old CDs.
One of the reasons that you see better returns in the larger endowments is that they're able to take more risk, more money into private equity, into venture capital, and into real estate as well.
Uh-oh. Does that mean our nation's colleges will get zapped by the subprime mess? Brett Hammond of survey co-partner TIAA Craft says never fear.
I'm sure that there are endowments that had some subprime, but the good news is that they're diversified.
Even still, Hammond says, the schools are unlikely to see such blockbuster returns for the coming fiscal year. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
The writer's strike has put a lot of reruns on TV. Good time to be in the DVD rental business. Netflix reports fourth quarter earnings rose 6%. The company says subscribers grew nearly 20% year over year. That's about 7.5 million people getting their movie fix with Netflix.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
There may be questions about the economy, but the art world seems to be doing just fine. Today in New York, Sotheby's will hold its first Old Masters auction of the year. It's expected to rake in as much as $100 million. At the other end of the spectrum, mail order art, yes, of the month clubs, too, and their business seems to be booming, as Julie Kane reports from San Francisco.
Too short.
We're in a converted flower shop in the heart of San Francisco's Mission District. A bunch of mostly young enthusiasts work at a long table covered with rubber stamps, tape dispensers, and cardboard mailing tubes.
They go to the middle of the table here. Right now they're demanding so many of them that you don't even have to ask. They just, they're asking us for them.
They're wrapping this season's Thing. The Thing is a locally made, mass-produced work of art. It's delivered to subscribers quarterly. Think of it as a kind of fruit of the month club for art lovers. The first edition of The Thing came out last September. It was pull-down window shades that artist Miranda July designed with slogans.
If this shade is down, I'm begging your forgiveness on bended knee with tears streaming down my face.
Yeah. That's Thing co-creator John Hirschend.
And the other one is, if this shade is down, I'm not who you think I am.
Since September, the company has signed about 850 subscribers worldwide who pay $120 a month to get art delivered to their doorstep. But even the creators say it's not a perfect business model. For one thing, telephone calls, printer cartridges, postage, and production all add up. And for another, Hirschend's co-creator Will Rogan says their art is never one size fits all.
You know, it's going to be a different size every single time. You don't know what it's going to be. You don't know how much it's going to weigh. You don't know how much it's going to cost to produce. That's ridiculous.
But at least they're breaking even. For a fledgling business run by local artists with a non-corporate business model, that's pretty good. The Thing has sold more than $100,000 worth of subscriptions since September.
It's like the most money in a bank account that's had my name on it ever.
In San Francisco, I'm Julie Kane for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.